study session for the Pines and Plains trustees, Wednesday, October 8th at 3 p.m.
So I'm going to do the presentation today on mill levies and property tax. And I hope I don't put you to sleep. It's kind of warm in here. So I should have put cartoons in my presentation. I thought of it too late. But Ruth Ann and I met with our lawyer a couple weeks ago, about a month ago. She went through the new law with us. And after we did that, we're like, oh, we understand it so much better. So we thought that it would be good to go through it with all of you so that we all kind of understand what's going on with that. So we're going to start kind of from the very beginning. And so I'm going to minimize Kathy here. Oops, I'll come back here, Lisa.
Okay. Thank you.
And my screen is not.
I forgot my pen.
Oh, there we go. Okay. So I have in your packet, I put two separate copies of our what we sent out to the voters. One is like very tiny to read, and the other I made large print, so it would be a little bit easier to read. So this was on November 7th in the year 2000 that we put it out to the vote, and we passed this. I'll give you the results in just a minute. The result of this is that we became a library district, and for the first time, we had money that came to us. We started with $425,000, and it came to us directly to start the district up. That was our
start. And where did the $425,000 come from? I'm just curious.
I think, I'm not sure, actually. That's a really good question.
Okay. We can pass on it.
I think it was property tax.
Okay.
In 2001.
Okay.
So so this is just the result of the vote. And you can see this was in 2000, and they passed by 285 votes. So it was a very slim margin. 4,443 people voted yes, and 4,158 people voted no. So it was really, really close. So what I'm going to do is,
this is when the library became a library district, right?
It became a library district, and when we got a mill levy assigned to us. So I'm going to go through this in three parts so that we can, and we're going to study each part and talk about each part of it. Okay, so this is part one. This is just like the first, this thing is like one gigantic sentence. So this is like the first half of the sentence. Shall Elbert County Library District taxes be increased $425,000 in 2001 and annually thereafter in such amounts as are received by the imposition of an ad valorem property tax levy not to exceed 2.516 mills to be collected in 2001 and each year thereafter? Okay, so I'm going to explain everything that's highlighted in there. So that $425,000, we're going to look at that at the very end of the presentation again. Keep that in mind, and you'll be like, oh, that's where that came from. I know, that's exciting. And then ad valorem, we're going to define in just a second, and we'll talk about mills in just a second here too. So we'll get to that. So ad valorem is a tax, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's a tax imposed on an item based on its assessed value. So it's based on our homes. So for example, say your house is assessed at $100,000 in value. And the tax on that for us is 2.516 mills. And so that takes a proportion of that $100,000. Say your house then increased in value to $120,000. The tax on that is still 2.516, but it's a higher amount because your house is a higher amount. So so ad valorem means that it just, the tax changes as the value of the item changes. And that is what we're talking about, houses. So your house is $100,000, then your house is $120,000, and the tax works the same way on that.
And that's assessed value, not actual sale value.
Exactly. Assessed value. But I'm not going to get into all that goodness, but I'll tell you how to learn more if you want to learn more about that. So the definition of a mill levy, it's the tax rate expressed in mills applied to a property's assessed value, like Maral just said. So so mills, a mill is equal to $1 per thousand of the assessed value. So another way to think of it, a mill is like money. So here's a penny. A mill is, if you took this penny and cut it into 10 little teeny tiny pie slices, that would be a mill. One of those would be a mill. So a tenth of a penny is a mill, or a thousandth of a dollar is a mill. So that's just another way to think about a mill. And you know, just like with, and think about it, like we talk about per cent, that's per 100. You can talk about a mill as per thousand. Per mill is per thousand. So so a mill in decimal, you know, like if you're talking about, you're saying 20%, if you translate 20% to a decimal, you are talking about 0.20, right? So say we translate a mill into a decimal, we're talking about 0.001. So so our mill of 2.516, when you translate that to a decimal, it's 0.002516. Does that make sense? Are you guys following me? Because to me, this, once I thought about this, I'm like, oh, a mill is a tenth of a penny, or a mill is a thousandth of a dollar. Suddenly, somehow, that just, you know, made me understand it that much better. So you can think of a mill as a property tax rate, you know, or you can think of it as an actual amount of money. So, okay, so here's ballot text of our referendum. This is the second part. Shall such revenue and investment income thereon and all revenue from any other source be collected, retained, and spent for district operations, capital improvements, and any other lawful purpose as a voter-approved revenue change without, that's the important word there, without regard to any spending, revenue raising, or other limitations, including tax cuts specified in Article X, Section 20 of the Colorado Constitution. Okay, so let's explain what this means. So Article X, Section 20 of the Colorado Constitution is Tabor. You guys have heard of Tabor. It's the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights. And the Constitution, our Colorado Constitution is like our U.S. Constitution. It's like the higher level above the law. And so in 1992, we all voted, or the voters voted, to put in place this Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, which meant that any, like the state or any like district couldn't keep money above any more than inflation plus local growth. Okay. So there was this like calculation that they did that you couldn't keep more than this certain amount. And, but we put it in our statement to the voters saying that we want to be exempt from Tabor. So our ballot measure says that we are exempt from Article 10, Section 20 of the Colorado Constitution. Okay. And this is what we did in our statement was it's called debrucing. So Douglas Bruce was the gentleman who initiated the idea of Tabor. And so colloquially now they talk about debrucing is when you exempt yourself from Tabor. So when we did our ballot measure in the year 2000, we exempted ourselves from Tabor. Okay. And so think about think about those years that we get checks from the state of Colorado, or when you're doing your Colorado taxes, you get a credit on your taxes. That is the TABOR money coming back to you. That's your TABOR refund. So, and that's another reason right now that the state is struggling with their budget. So, okay, so that's limits on levy growth part one. Okay, and then this is the last part of the referendum. Again, it starts with without regard to the tax revenue limitations contained within sections 29.1, 301, and following of the Colorado Revised Statutes. So the Colorado Revised Statutes are the law in Colorado, and this says that we are exempt from this law. And we'll talk again more in a minute more about what the law is. So this law limits our growth by 5.5%. So a lot of Western states have a limit on the amount of growth that they will allow in property tax collections. And in Colorado, there's this 5.5% limit in the Colorado Revised Statutes at 29-1-301. So when you talk about, sometimes they talk about it as the 5.5 statutory limit. Statutory is another word for law. And so just to go back, so the legislature, I don't know what year this came into place. Do you know? No. So the legislature had a bill that they passed, and then they passed it in the state house and the state senate to put in this law. Governor signed the law, and it became law, and it was put in the Colorado Revised Statute. But in our ballot language, we exempt ourselves also from this law, from this 5.5% limit. So we exempted ourselves from two things, from TABOR and from the 5.5% law. Okay, so now I'm going to change a little bit, and then we'll come back and talk more about those in a little bit. So this is just a picture of the assessor, the Elbert County assessor. So she is the one that that looks at all the data on your house and gives it an assessed value. And I recommend, I'm not going to go through it, Morale. You were saying, you know, how they, you know, that it's the assessed value, not the actual value of your home. So if you go to this link here, the URL, she's got a great presentation on that page that will take you through, you know, how they do the assessment and how they determine, because they have to, some of it has to be computer automated because they're dealing with so many homes. So it kind of walks you through that whole process. But the assessor has been super helpful, and she's really great to work with. And I just really appreciate her so much. She's just a really good, really good person, really helpful. So this is something, this is a sample property tax bill that I thought would be kind of interesting for you all to look at. There's also a copy of it here if you want to look at it. So I'm not saying who this belongs to, but it's not from Elbert County. And I don't have access to anyone's. This is a really old one that I just randomly pulled out of someone else's file. But it shows you like the different categories and like the mill levies associated with those. And then for this particular homeowner, it shows you how much they're going to pay to those different entities. So this is pretty typical. You're going to pay the county. Have you guys all looked at your property tax statements? Have you looked and seen this on yours? Yeah. So you'll pay the county government. You'll pay the schools for whatever area you live in. You'll pay your fire department and the libraries, and then some other random stuff. You may pay a water district and stuff like that. So they show you the tax levy, and then they show you how that translates into the taxes that you're going to pay. So that's kind of fun. That's just me. Okay, so this is that kind of note I wanted to give you, because I didn't want people to You want to pass those around?
Yeah, I'd love to.
I didn't want to get folks confused. So this is the property tax certification of value for this year. So part of what we're going to look at is for this year, and part we'll have to look at for next year because we don't have this year's yet, if that makes sense. So this is the one from this year. So we get this every year from the assessor, and the due date to us is August 25th, and you see at the top the date is August 25th. So she has to give it to all of the entities in the county, all the districts in the county by August 25th. And this is like the preliminary numbers. So this year it's 2 pages. Normally it's not that many pages. So on the first page, we're just going to go through the headings on the first page. So the first heading says, use for statutory property tax revenue limit calculation, the 5.5% limit only. So do we use that one?
Nope.
No, because we are exempt from that. In our ballot language, we exempted ourselves from that. The second grade-in area says, use for TABOR local growth calculation only. Are we going to use that one? Nope, because we are also exempt from that one. We exempted ourselves from that one. Okay, so we're going to go to the second page. So this one says, use for statutory property tax limit calculation, 5.25% limit, 29.1703 CRS. Now, this is a trick. Yes, this one does apply to us. This is the new law, and we'll talk more about the new law at the end of, towards the end. But when we look at this page, there's two numbers on here that we're looking for. One number is the number we're going to use for our calculation, and that's item number 3, the current year's net total taxable assessed valuation. That's $708,412,370. So keep that mind, keep that number in your head. And then in a little bit, we're also going to look at item number 9, which is taxes abated and refunded as of August 1st, that $33,228.02. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to calculate just our basic mill levy. So we're going to take that first number, 708,412,370, and we're going to multiply that by our mill levy in its decimal form. So that is 0.002516. And hopefully you guys get the same number I do. Fingers crossed. So that the net taxable assessed valuation is all of the properties in Elbert County that the assessor has assessed, just as one gigantic total. And it's over $708 million, looks like. So are you guys coming up with $1,782,365? Okay. So I'll show you later. That's about a 5% increase over what we had last year. But we learned last year for the first time that we can go for that abatement money, and that was on line 9, which is $33,228.02. So let's calculate. Let's figure out. So that's the $33,228.02. And let's see how we got that. It's kind of like, and then some magic happened. Really what happened is that I did a lot of calculations to figure out what the proper mill levy is. So let's go back and define. So what abated and refunded taxes are in that line number 9, they're taxes that people have already paid And but then the people are saying that they shouldn't have paid them. So, but that money, according to our lawyer, is available to us to request from the county. So we have to figure out a mill levy that fits $33,228 as close as we can. So what did I do? I just started dinking around with mill levy numbers that I transferred into decimal points. And I just kind of, I looked at what we used last year. The lawyer helped me do it last year. Last year, we only had like $2,200 that we were aiming for, or $2,100. And so I just started playing with mill levies. And the one that I found that could get me the closest was 0.46 mills, which is 0.000046 times the total net total taxable assessed valuation. And as close as I can get is $32,586.97, because it has to be like to a regular number or to a rounded number. So you can try like 0.47 mils and see what you get. And you can also try 0.45 mils just if you want to play, if you're feeling adventurous. And you can see that, you know, one of them will not get as close to 33,000 as we need, and the other one is going to take us over 33,000. Okay. Have I lost you guys? Okay.
Okay.
You're good? Okay. So then now we got to add things together. So we've got our regular mill levy, the district revenue that we're anticipating from the 2.516 mill, and that's going to be that number we calculated earlier, the $1,782,362.52. And then we've got the amount from the abated and refunded taxes. So we're going to add those together, and our total comes out to be $1,814,952.49. So that's the total that I used to budget. And so budget, Matt is going to pass you another copy of the budget because you can never have enough copies of the budget. So this is the proposed budget that I gave you at our September 24th meeting when we were at Ellsworth. And if you look in the top right corner, you can see that's the number from the property tax, the number that's highlighted, that $1,814,952. And I left off the pennies on that one. We rounded it down to just the full amount. So that's where we get our regular amount from the property tax, that the part that we use for our revenues. Does that make sense to you guys? And that number includes our regular property tax plus our abated property tax. Okay. Great. Any questions? I should have asked for questions way before now.
So what's swirling around in my brain is this abatement thing. Mm-hmm. If people are saying you need to give us money back, we overpaid, where's that abatement money hanging out? Is the county?
I think so. I think the county has had it. And then if the county wins, the county gets to keep the money. So, but according to our lawyer, it's money that we can ask for. So, it's a
$230. So it's some kind of a legal battle that's going on. In the meantime, we want our piece of the abatement.
It's like, you know, where you can contest something. So they've contested whatever it is about their property tax.
Okay.
So.
I'm just looking at you. I'm looking to see if it's falling into the right slots.
Yeah. That $33,228 is higher than 5.5%. That's why you had to.
No, that doesn't have anything to do with the 5.5%.
Okay.
So.
And my question is, Susan, is this a, so we've done the calculations and we're going to give, if they give it to us, we get the 30 some whatever thousand, 33,000. I assume there are other entities are that are funds are available for too, or is this all of the surplus from?
I think this is specific to us because it's a specific number that we can reach for, you know.
So in other words, is it the part of our, I know it isn't 5.5, but let's say, is it our 5.5% of whatever is parked that's been over collected?
No, we're not allowed to use that money in that part when we get to that.
No, what I'm trying, I'm not asking the question correctly. Yeah. Okay.
A little piece of the pie.
Yes. How does it decide what portion of that pie we're entitled to?
So the, I mean, according to our lawyer, we get that full $33,000.
Correct.
So, and I guess they divide it out when they.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. So let's say this is the escrow account that's holding all this surplus funds. Right. How was it determined that we're entitled to what percentage of that escrow account? Okay. All right. I'm asking.
Maybe it's mill levy. Maybe it's based on our mill levy.
Okay, I know.
Maybe they calculate it for us. I've got all of those. I can go in and look at everybody else's. So I can go look and see.
Not a big deal. I just thought maybe you knew offhand.
No.
Yeah, okay.
This is new from last year. Last year we only had $2,000. But then, we showed it to our lawyer and she said she'd never seen it before. They took it back later in the year.
Ooh.
They sent us a letter saying, no, you can't have this after all. So it was, I can show you the letter. It's from Lumen, and there was a lawsuit, and the lawsuit was resolved or something like that. So after that, they said, no, you can't have it. And our lawyer said, that's very unusual.
Okay, got it.
So normally that money is available for you and you can request it and get it.
Okay.
But we requested it and we didn't get it after all. So.
And just one other thing that I don't know. So like the fire department has their own mill levy. And they would have gotten a piece of paper like this with their potential abatement on it.
Right.
I would assume so. That's why I was asking what the they determined.
Yeah. And I don't know how they determine the abatement, but we could.
It's not that big a deal. If we get 30 some thousand, who cares? Take it.
It's like gravy for me. It's just.
Yeah.
It's like I didn't know that we could ask for this money. So, but we can't use that money for the new law. So we're going to talk about that in a moment for the new law. Okay. So. Let's talk about, this is just procedure. Let's talk about the budget steps. So according to the law, I had to get the proposed budget to you by October 15th. And I gave it to you at our board meeting on September 24th. And then you all, the board sets the date for our public hearing. And that is just an opportunity for the public to comment on our budget. And so at our September 24th meeting, you guys made the motion to set our budget hearing for our next regular meeting on October 22nd. So that's going to be our budget hearing that day. So then we had to post an advertisement in the back of the Ridgeland News, because that's like one of the biggest newspapers in the county. And so we had to post it. And I think it should be coming out this week.
Tomorrow,
I think, because I looked at the issue that we just got. Kiowa, the town of Kiowa beat us, and they got their public notice in there earlier. But we are not as fast to be the first ones. But we just have to give adequate notice to the public in an accepted, like, printed form. And so we use the Ranchland News. So then during our regular meeting on October 22nd, I don't know if you remember last year, we have to call like a special hearing within the meeting. And we have our regular meeting, but then we have to call a specific meeting on the budget. And basically, we haven't had anybody there. So we just call the meeting, look around the room, everybody is still the same, and then we close the meeting for the budget. But it's just to allow the public to be able to. And we also had to post the draft budget on our website. So Nat put that up on the website so that that's available for people to look at it. And then you guys in October, November, or December, you've got several things that you're going to do. You're going to approve the budget, and you're going to allocate the funds. And we did this last year where we just are saying, you know, we're designating the funds for the next year. So we have three resolutions. And then at either probably November or December's meeting, we can approve the mill levy. And we'll talk more about that in a second. I'll show you some forms that we have to fill out for that. And then the end of that whole, well, there's other parts too that we'll talk about in a second. But finally, once the budget's approved, we have to submit the budget to the state by January 31st. And Mary Ellen does that for us. Okay. So remember, I said we don't have stuff for this year yet. So now I'm trying to show you the whole process, but we're going to have to go back and look at last year's data. So this is last year's certification from the county assessor. And Nat has copies of it. I didn't want to confuse you by showing you, right? It's just hard to find them in your packet. So that's why we're handing them out. So, do you understand why I'm showing you last year's? Just because we're not to the
point. We haven't got it yet.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
So this is, the assessor gives us the amended certification of value by the 25th of November. And so the assessor is giving us two documents. She's giving us the original or the early one that we used to budget in August. And then she gives us this final official one in like November, early December timeframe. So on this one, they only had a single page last year. So in looking at the single page, you can see that the total taxable assessed valuation is the same for both the 5.5 limit and for Tabor. If you look at the top, so I think you're looking at line number 4 in both places. Nope, you're not. They're not the same. Okay, that's different for Tabor. Okay, just ignore me. We use the
line 4.
Line 4. The net total taxable assessed valuation. And then if you look at line 11, again, that's that taxes abated. So last year we were aiming for $2,113.18. And last year was the first time we asked for that.
So you got $2,000 back. That was
we asked for it, but then we later got a letter from
saying you're not entitled.
Yeah, that there was a lawsuit and that they were not going to get that money. Okay. So I'm going to skip all the calculation steps and then go straight to the certification of mill levy, which kind of shows you what we did last year, and that's passing that out too. So this is a form that we fill out.
Is it a two-pager? Yeah, I think so. You have the mill levy information. You want those separate?
Are they? I didn't realize that I...
Yeah, they're there.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I didn't realize we had both of those there. So this form that we're giving you right now is the, we have to submit this to the Board of County Commissioners.
Apparently we're short.
Okay.
Oh. Sorry about this. Oh, these are the other ones already passed out.
Yeah, I don't have any extra copies for
those. Thank you.
Oh,
yeah,
I
can't
find a copy.
No, we got them. I'm not sure what happened.
Okay.
So, all good. We got it.
So this kind of, so we fill out this form every year, and you guys also will vote to certify this mill levy, and then Ruth Ann signs it to officially certify it. So remember that we're using last year's numbers. So we have to send this to the Board of County Commissioners by the 15th. So if you look at the total
15th of
December.
December. Okay.
So like line one, we put our normal amount of our mill levy in, 2.516 mills. And that gives us, last year we had 1,695,991. Okay. And so that subtotal for general operating, that's our normal mills. And then line six was the first time we did this since I've been here anyway. And we asked for 0.003 mills. The closest we could get to that $2,100 was $2,022. So our total mill levy was 2.519, and our total revenue was $1,698,013. Okay. And remember, this is all last year's numbers because obviously we're not to the end of December yet. Okay. Does that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
You're following along? Okay. And then the other handout that Matt gave you. So this was the first year for it last year. So they passed a law that they wanted us to be more transparent about our mill levy. And so this law is 39-1-125 of the Colorado Revised Statutes, if you want to read some law and learn about this. So the top is just kind of, you know, who are we? You know, number two, we put our mill levy, but we're only reporting our base, our normal mill levy. We're not reporting any abatements in this. So we just put 2.516 and our previous year's mill levy was 2.516. So line five, mill levy maximum without further voter approval. That's just our calculation for our regular mill levy. It was the, if you look at the page that the mill levy certification, that should be that number at the top, 1,695,991. Okay. And then line six, this is where I was like, what do I do with this one? Where do I get this number? And so our lawyer took us back to our original vote, to the original wording of our vote. And we said that we're going to start with $425,000. And remember, I told you to remember that number. That's where we fill in that number. So our allowable annual growth in mill levy revenue is $425,000. So line seven is our actual growth from over the prior year. So what I did with to calculate this was I took line five and I subtracted line four. So if you use your calculator and check my math, the 1.695 million minus 1.558 million, that gives you $107,560. Okay. And then line eight, is the revenue from this mill levy allowed to be retained and spent as a voter approved revenue change pursuant to section 27B of Article X of the state constitution, which is Tabor? So this is worded strangely, or it's kind of hard to, but this is asking, are we able to keep the extra money beyond Tabor? And our answer is yes, because in our vote, we said we are exempt from Tabor and we are exempt from that 5.5% statutory thing, okay? And so line nine, they're asking now about that statutory property tax limit of 5.5%, but they worded it differently. So they're saying, is the revenue from this mill levy subject to that property tax law 5.5% limit in 29-1-CRS? And our answer is no, we are not, because we exempted ourselves in our vote. So, and then the lawyer recommended that we send them to look at the list of everybody on DOLA. Everybody is listed on DOLA who's exempt from it's a state website for the Department of Local Affairs where we upload our budgets and all that kind of stuff. And so they have memos about each of us that says they're exempt from the 5.5 statutory limit. So if you go to that URL, you should see our memo that says, yep, Hilbert County Library District is exempt from that. Okay. So line 10, is the revenue from this mill levy subject to any other limit on annual revenue growth enacted by the local government, that's you guys, or another local government? So you guys have not limited our mill levy. You guys have yours. We're staying with the same mill levy of 2.516. You have not decided to reduce that mill levy. And then number 11 says, does the mill levy need to be adjusted, or does a temporary mill levy reduction need to be used in order to collect a certain amount of revenue? And if yes, what is the amount? And so my interpretation of this one, I think I've mentioned this to you guys, the board, before, that there are some counties like Douglas County, I think Pitkin County, is Pitkin County where there's some that just have a lot of money from property tax, and their mill levy brings in so much money that they can't even use it. And so they say, we're going to reduce our mill levy voluntarily. And so this would be where if we were going to do that, this is where we would do that. So like, there's so much mill levy money coming in, so much assessed value in certain counties, that it's just way too much even for the library to deal with. And so they voluntarily say, this is too much money. We don't want this much. And so then you say how much money you're giving back to them. Okay.
Great.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. So basically, the original, that 425 was the original number that the taxpayer had agreed upon,
right?
That can be collected every year.
Right.
And to get that, you had to go to a 2.516 mill levy.
You don't know, because that was in our original wording. It said we'll start in the year 2001 with $425,000. They just gave us, somehow they just came up with that number. Yeah, and I don't know if it's been in the mill levy. But then after that, every year after that, in 2020, 2002 and
2003
and so on,
since it'll be higher,
then it'll be the mill levy, based on the mill levy. So.
And you're taking the exemption from Tabor and the 5.5% growth because
right.
It was agreed upon, or the law says you can't.
Right. Okay. So then now we're getting to the new law finally. So in 2024, the Senate passed Senate Bill 24-233. And then, if you remember, we talked about it, the House had a special session, like after the session had closed. And in that special session, they came up with House Bill 24-3-1001. So those were both of those bills were approved by the other House. And they became law, signed by the governor, and they became Colorado Revised Statute 29-1, basically -1700. So that's our new law, and it's a property tax limit imposition. And so kind of one thing that I heard is that they were looking for ways to limit the property taxes. And so many so many districts had done as we had done and opted out of Tabor and exempted ourselves from the 5.5%. So they're like, we need another way to do it. So they brought this new law in, and we're starting it this year. The new law was voted on and approved in 2024, but it's going to be starting for the 2026 budget year, and it's property tax year of 2025. So they do the assessment for the property values in 2025, and then we use that in our 2026 budget. And we have to look at this in 2-year cycles because the assessment cycle is 2 years long. So we have to group 2025 together with 2026, then we have to group 2027 together with 2028. So the law says that we can't exceed 5.25% increase per year, or we can't exceed 10.5% increase over 2 years. Okay. So
do we even have to be concerned with that when we're only collecting 2.5 right now?
So the mill levy is 2.516, which is a different. It's we're not talking percent. That 2.516 is the mill levy. So that's per thousand.
Oh, and we're talking percentages versus the mill levy. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
My mind wasn't
that's
going.
That's a great question. So our lawyer walked us through, actually we saw this also at Cal. They talked us through this. And our first step is that we have to identify a previous tax collection year as our base year. So whatever we're going to start with, our base year, we want the base year to be our highest amount that we can use, but we can't use budget year 2026 as our base year. That's our highest year so far because we're going into that year. It has to be a different year. So the only other highest number is going to be 2025. So we'll use the amount we're going to get from property taxes from 2025 as our base year. And then the second step is to calculate the increase from our base year to the current year, which shouldn't exceed 5.25%. Okay. All right. So our base is the final certified mill levy without any refunds or abatements. So that's that $1,695,991 that we saw on the certification of the mill levy, or the calculated from what the assessor gave us from, she gave it to us at the end of 2024 to use for the 2025 budget. Okay. You know where that, you find where that number came from? And then we calculated our preliminary amount for 2026. We go way back to that first calculation we did was $1,782,365. So, and this is also the abatement. We have to use both of those, just only the mill levy, not the abatement part, that extra little bonus break that we think we get. So the increase from 1.695 to 1.782 million is about 5% increase. Okay. So the law says we can have 10.5% over 2 years. And if we're going to use 5% increase, then that leaves us a potential 5.5% increase for next year. But the question is, can we increase more than 5.25%? Because the law also says, it says actually, you can increase 10.5% over a 2 year period, which would be 5.25% each year. But they're already interpreting this two different ways. And when we spoke with our lawyer, she said that, that we can't exceed 5.25% increase per year for a total of 10.5% increase over 2 years. So, but the law is so new, we don't know for sure how that's going to work. So,
for us, it's an issue because there are so many new homes being built in the county.
Right, right. And, you know, but we also, we have no way of predicting, you know, what the growth will be next year. So, but I don't know. Do you understand there's two different ways to interpret it? It's like, sure.
You so can. One year you got 3%. And so next year you're not allowed to take more than 5.25. You can't take 7% or
right,
whatever.
So right. Anyway. Yeah. So, the law is so new that we're all kind of deciding, trying to, you know, figure out how it can be interpreted. So, because theoretically, that would give us, like, you know, if so, in our example where we have 10.5% minus 5%, we would have a potential of 5.5% next year. There's an extra 0.25%. We don't know for sure whether we can do it, but there is in the law carryover, and so the carryover happens between the 2 years. So it's, you got to look at 2025 and 2026 and then 2026 and 2027. So we can't start taking carryover until 2027. And hopefully maybe by then we'll know this a little bit better. But so maybe we have 8% growth over the 2 year time period. Let's just use that as an example. So then we could carry forward 2.5%, and then in the next 2 year period, we would have 12.5% in the following 2 years. So it's all going to be, we're going to all learn about how this all works out. Okay. It's, we don't know exactly, you know, how it's going. So just some of the thoughts that in the different presentations that I've seen about this. So the law allows for us, if we wanted to have an election, to exempt us from the 5.25% and the 10.5% over 2 years. You know, the question is, would you exempt yourself for a single year? Would you exempt yourself for a 2 year period? Because we're looking at everything in 2 year periods. Can you exempt yourself permanently? And you've got to balance that against the cost of the election and would it pass for us? You know, we typically just don't take things to the vote because, I mean, it's a lot of money and you'd have to have a big you know, would it be cost effective for us to do that? We don't know. The other thing is we really don't know what's going to happen. This is a new law. The legislature could change the law again. So because they had their new law in place with, 24-233 or whatever that number was. And then they had to come back again and have a special session and edit that first one. So that was in the same year that they made that change. So who knows, you know, the law could change again. But one thing is that the law does kind of make us think about our budget in these two-year planning cycles, in the assessment cycles, like 2025 and 2026 and 2027 and 2028. So, okay, that's everything I have. Who has questions?
I think it was very informative, and you did a very good job.
Did you guys follow? Are you?
Yes.
Your understanding? Before I forget, I want to tell you I have a dentist appointment tomorrow morning, so I'm not going to be at work until later.
But oh, don't worry.
That's enough stuff. I have a dentist appointment tomorrow morning, so I just, before I forget to tell you.
Then we'll be here when we come knit you.
I might be. I'd love to see. Any questions that you guys have about this?
More money because there's building going on, there's more houses, correct?
Theoretically, yeah.
Yes.
And if there's so many houses, so much taxation that you're getting, it has to be limited.
Right, basically, yeah.
See, and that's my real concern because we have so many new startup homes and we could exceed.
But if we do exceed, we can do carry forward the next, you know, into the next
year.
The next two years. So this year we have 5%. You know, if next year we have 6%, then we have 0.5% that we could carry forward into the next 2-year cycle. Okay.
So what it boils down to is, as long as we don't go way overboard, probably don't have to, I would say, worry that we're going to be in arrears and have to fork over money.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is we want to make sure we do this right so that we don't have to give money back.
So the key to me, or what it looks to me like, is we can't be extravagant on our increases more than, I think we're pretty conservative what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And so long as we continue that, we'll probably be in pretty good shape. In fact, we may end up with a little bit of surplus at the end. And I'm thinking that surplus, we can either put it in the bank towards our building fund, or give a bonus. We have a couple of options, the way I see it.
So there's no need to get a millage increase, and there's really no need to do anything to seek more exemptions at this point, because we don't know what.
If you want to take it to the taxpayers to pay for the renovation of this building, you know, we can. Ask for
based on past experience.
I don't think that's a wise idea.
No, I know.
Albert, it's never going to pass.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of, how should I say, tightwads.
Right. We're still recording the meeting, so we just.
Excuse my friend.
Sorry.
I don't feel comfortable taking it to a vote yet.
I mean, it's too unpredictable because we don't know what will happen. And
plus just the cost. I mean, being an election judge, every time we talk about a cost for an election, it's around $22,000 to $30,000 that has to be forked over, and so. Are we going to gain a net to justify that expense? In most cases, not.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is we don't know. I mean, this is just based on a law. The legislature could go back and redo the law.
Change it.
You know,
So Matt, you had your hand raised.
Yeah, I was just curious that the difference in, like, say we have 7% growth and we can only take that 5.25. Does that money just go back to the taxpayers? Okay.
It would just be saving that we're reducing our mill levy, so we wouldn't be taking as much.
Well, no, I'm just saying per the new law that says we can't increase more than 5.25%. Say that's the absolute. It comes down. We don't know how it's going to be interpreted right now, but say that that's what the end all be all is. And instead of that, we end up with a 7% increase from last year to this year, or then for the year to the next year for the budget. That difference between, like, 7% of
would be 2%.
And the problem is that we don't quite, I mean, the way our lawyer is interpreting it is that it's 5.25% per year. And so then if we took in 7, we'd have to reduce that.
Okay. But Matt's asking, where does that excess go to?
And that money is supposed to go back to the taxpayers.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the intent.
I wasn't certain if it could go to another entity or if it stayed in the county or what it did.
Yeah, that's the intent of it.
Okay. One last problem here. Say we have a recession and valuations go down because of the recession. At that point in time, I mean, all of these numbers may go in the toilet, so to speak.
Right. And that has happened before, because back in 2008?
Eight.
Yeah. When the district had to cut back quite a bit. So they fired the director.
Okay, but wasn't this...
But we won't get rid of you.
when this law came into effect, it was done because the valuation of the homes went sky high.
Right.
And the public said, we need relief from potential... Right. Taxes on our homes.
Yeah, and I didn't show you that whole part of it. That happened. That magic happens with the assessor.
Yeah.
They reduced the percentages for the assessed value, and they added some other goodness in. They told us at Cal, or actually, and I heard it in different presentations too, but like, they're going to reduce the non-residential assessment rate over the following years. It's 27% for this tax year, but then it's going to reduce for non-residential. For residential property tax, our lawyer told us that they should be setting the residential assessment rate this month, I believe. And so
now, is that by county or is that by state?
Statewide.
Okay, that's what I want. I had no clue.
It says if the statewide actual value change is more than 5%, the residential assessment rate will stay at 6.15% where it is. But if the statewide actual value change is less than or equal to 5%, the residential assessment rate will be at 6.25%. And the rates will increase for property tax year 2026, which is next year.
Okay.
And then they're also, so there's a homestead exemption.
Mm-hmm.
So that's if you are a retiree and you've lived in your home for more than 10 years, starting in next year, in property tax year 2026, there's going to be a homestead exemption of 10% of the actual value of your home up to $700,000 indexed for inflation. So, whatever that means.
That one's over my head.
Yeah.
I understand the homestead, but I don't understand the way they're doing it.
So that it's, I mean, basically it's 10% of that. It's if your house is worth more than $700,000, it's 10% of the
back 700,000.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Stuff in our area. Yeah. Stuck.
Okay. Taxes. Any other questions? That's all the content I have. That's what I understand. Nobody fell asleep, so that was good.
Is there anything else we need to do, or do I need to make a motion to adjourn?
Okay. Well, I would like to thank Susan for doing this presentation.
Yes. You can tell I have fun.
Made it as uncomplicated as possible.
This is my favorite part.
That was good.
The dollar bill is a penny that you divide into.
On that note, I would like to offer that we adjourn.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.